You're listening to Podketeers.
Welcome to episode 508 of Podketeers. This week we present our bracket predictions for March Mayhem. Andrew and I give a quick review of the new Wonka film. Disney releases a new image of Jared Leto for Tron Ares. I tell you why recommending Disney Speedstorm has become difficult for me. Bob Iger cancels a bunch of Marvel projects. Plus, he makes a noticeable change to his announcement about Avatar coming to the Disneyland Resort, which may indicate bigger things are coming. We would love to hear your predictions. You can join the conversation and vote on your favorite Simpsons characters on Instagram, but we would love for you to join us on Discord. Joining the community is super simple. Just head on over to podketeers.com/links and click on the Discord button to join our community. Before we jump into the episode, we would like to take a moment to acknowledge a very special group of listeners known as the FGP Squad, our podcast fairy godparents, because it's their support via Patreon that help make these episodes of Podketeers possible. As part of the FGP Squad family, you get some additional perks like exclusive discount codes for Podketeers gear, additional content that we've uploaded to Patreon, access to our happy hour calls when we get an opportunity to do those, giveaways, and more. For more information on how you can become part of the FGP Squad family, we invite you to check out podketeers.com/FGP. And of course, a super special thank you goes out to the FGP Squad for their continued support. All right, so it's time to jump into the episode. We hope that you're enjoying March Mayhem so far. Remember, you can join us over on Instagram. Every day, we're going to be posting a brand new matchup for you to vote on Monday through Friday. And yeah, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have. But that's it. It's time to get into the episode. If this is your first time hanging out with us, welcome. We hope that you enjoy the episode and that you come back for more. And of course, if you've been hanging with us for a while now, welcome back, friends. Here is episode 508 of Podketeers. Gonna be.
I like Will Sasso.
He is very funny. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the videos where he was like the oranges?
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I'll just say the oranges. They're all vines. Like, this is an old people thing. Back in the day of Vine, what was
pre-TikTok,
that?
Pre TikTok, as some would call it.
6 years ago. Pre TikTok, yeah. Will Sasso would just have oranges come out of his mouth.
That's funny.
And sing like Michael McDonald in the shower with bubbles.
Yeah, I like and all of you that are just kind of easing into the podcast at this point, our conversation started because every time we start recording, we sync, you know, we do a clap and everything, and you know, we sync our audio and stuff, and as we were syncing the first time, or attempting to sync, I broke into song, and I started trying to do this voice, and I couldn't remember the name of the artist that sang that way or who I was so horribly trying to impersonate. And I sat there for about 5 minutes, could not think about it. And towards the end, we just kind of started laughing. We were ready to sync again, and Andrew says, "Okay, but who was it before we start?"
I want to know.
And so, in my head, I could see him. I could see his name. I could see the artist, and I could hear his voice. And I'm like, I don't know. It sounds like that Mike, like something like Michael McDonald or something. And he's like, "Yes, that's Michael McDonald." And I'm like, and it just like all clicked. And like, it was one of those instances where like all the synapses weren't going, you know, like everything wasn't clicking and firing off. And I thought, you know what? It's late. It's bedtime soon. So we should get started.
I just got off of work. I ran here and,
it's
time to record.
Yes.
We made it work. Yes. Late night, after hours.
Podketeers after hours. Brought to you in part by the Disneyland Resort, where you can play $9 for a churro and caffeine injected into your veins.
I'm about to drink coffee, so I got to...
Where we become delusional.
Dr. Pepper.
That's true. We really do.
I will gladly be sponsored by Dr. Pepper. If you're listening, Dr. Pepper, give me a call. Like, I'll just wear, like, I'll be like, you know that scene in Wayne's World where they do all the product advertisement? And he's, like, wearing the Nike jumpsuit and everything. I'll do that. I'll wear a Dr. Pepper jumpsuit every day.
You know what?
Big fan.
Big fan. Exactly. In the word.
I look good in a Dr. Pepper jumpsuit, I think. You need to find you a costume.
That's true.
That's, oh.
I should be like a big, one day I'm just going to come on, I'll be a big Dr. Pepper can.
Oh, oh, they'll like it. The viewers
and
will like
it. And I will get one of those, what did we call Grimace? When we spoke about him, when they were, when people were doing the challenge, large purple.
Oh.
I don't.
Whatever Spirit Halloween has him listed as, that will be my costume.
Well, now that we do video, we're gonna have to have Halloween costumes when we do a
you
Halloween.
Oh,
good golly! That's true.
I'm all excited. This is,
you know what? This is... You know what? We are doing video. Why not? It'll be something fun we can do, right? Why not? Now I'm thinking of Mitch Hedberg. You said Dr. Pepper. I'm like, the other day I had a Mr. Pibb. It's a replica of Dr. Pepper, but it's it a replica because that dude didn't even get his degree. Anywho, we should jump into the episode. It's late. Can you tell us late?
It's a little late. That's okay.
This is what delirium looks
there
like.
In viewer land can
this
tell.
Is what
it
delirium looks,
looks
like. You know what I wish I could do? And there's like instances.
Go to bed.
Oh, for real. There's instances where like stuff like this happens where like a joke just doesn't hit or it just feels like one of those like delirious like delusions or whatever that's happening. Mm-hmm. And like the last time this happened, a month or two ago, I was talking to somebody at work and something like a similar situation happened. I thought, man, you know what would fit like really well right here? If I could laugh like the Joker the way Mark Hamill does that. The way that Mark Hamill does. It's like, oh, it fits so well in that moment because you feel delirious and you're just not all there. It's like, I can't do it. Anyway, the point is.
I don't know. It sounded like a little bit like Woody Woodpecker. I don't know.
You know what? If they need a Woody Woodpecker, I'm willing to work on that. I'll workshop it all I need to.
You know what? You know, maybe they'll bring Woody Woodpecker back since they're losing that. What was that? Have you guys heard about that Acme versus the
how they're canning
whatever
it.
Movie that's getting like
the Wile E. Coyote movie
or whatever? Yeah, what a
the
rip-off.
One movie
but
we would have
you know
loved
what?
To have seen.
Hopefully somebody will save.
The worst part about it is that from what I heard that all the audiences that they test screened it with said that it was so good, that it was really great. It was really engaging. The writing was fantastic. Aww. The animation was great.
Yeah.
And this whole scrapping films just to get a tax break is absolutely ridiculous. I can't.
Zaslav.
I don't like it. Who's the voice of Woody Woodpecker right now? Eric Bauza?
I don't know. I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, he does do like every other voice that it's on the Warner
Google
Brothers
late
roster
times.
Right now. Yeah, that's true, right?
Eric Bauza.
Is it?
Woody Woodpecker.
Bravo. Yes.
Well, there you go.
It was the four people that have voiced Woody Woodpecker, according to the quick Google searches, Mel Blanc, Ben Hardaway, Billy West, and Eric Bauza.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting. Well, I mean, if he's got the gig, there's no way that I can workshop it and get it because he's a legend. So I'm going to have to start looking for something else if that's the case.
Maybe.
All right, let's see.
Oh, there's like I'm going to tell you there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There's like 30 people that have voiced Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, really?
Not just those four.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
But those are the most, including Seth Green in Robot Chicken. So this is, well, okay, this is like every iteration of Dan Castellaneta in The Simpsons.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that.
So
who actually did it in the Woody Woodpecker movie? Was that Eric Bauza already, or was that
the recent Eric Bauza has been doing it since 2017.
Oh, so the movie came out before
and
that.
So pre 1998 to 2002, Billy West.
Okay.
Yeah, where what was the I don't even know when the movie was. Anyway, we're kind of this is really not.
Yeah, cool. we're totally getting out of here. Let us.
Yeah, we talked about this. And Woody Woodpecker.
Well, you brought up the Simpsons.
What?
Let's talk about Simpsons March Mayhem a little bit, shall we?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have officially kicked this off. We'll throw the slide up on the screen now. I don't know if that's
good.
What was the theme song again?
That's not the theme. I think it went blah 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 blah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Something like that. It was not good, but it was.
But
a
it was
theme
a
that
theme
existed,
right?
I have to. The thing is, I have to remember it. It might be different week to week, but something.
It's okay. It was variations.
Yeah, it was very scuttly though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that
I remember
is. Yeah,
the
that is what
part.
I remember. So it was very scuttly. okay, so March Mayhem has officially kicked off. We threw the bracket up on Instagram. It's also available on our Discord. If you're interested, actually, by the time this episode releases, it'll be a few matches in, so I don't think we're going to be taking any more votes. We only had a handful of people submit brackets this year. Brian, of course, sent us a bracket, and I'm trying to remember who he selected as the winner. It was probably Homer.
Homer.
It was Homer, right?
It has to be.
Excuse me. But I remember he sent us a message, and let me see. Okay, so here it is. So he says Homer is going to win the entire thing according to his bracket. FGP squad member Miguel also sent something in.
Nice.
He says Maggie's going to win.
Yes.
Let's see.
Yes,
our friend
I'm with you,
and
Miguel.
FGP squad member Heather says that Bart is going to win the whole thing. So,
oh, we got some.
This is cool.
You know, indecision.
Yeah.
Among,
so, I mean, there are variations, right? I think our brackets are also very. They're semi different.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. You know, this is a very interesting bracket. Brian brought up a couple of interesting points over on Discord. The idea originally, when I first proposed the bracket and having the top contenders in the corners, seemed like a good idea at the time. But he brought up a good point that it kind of instantly determines that they're going to win, right? Because they are the best-known players or the best-known characters.
Mm-hmm.
So if we do this again, he proposed that we exclude the most popular ones because then it's a more fair fight because you're not pinning them up against, you know, everyone's an underdog at that point. So that's a great point. Definitely something to take into consideration for the next one. So in this instance, I think everyone's predictions almost all completely jive with that idea that one of those four is going to win, except in mine. I don't think any of those are going to win. So I want to present the bracket. So here, let's take a look at what we have. So this is Melissa's bracket.
Yeah.
Melissa, take us down your thinking a rabbit hole here of how you ended up with M as the winner.
Yeah. It was going to be... Okay, look. I'm going to root for the underdog. That's always been me because Homer, he has a chance of winning, but... Let's not give it to him. Let's give it to somebody else. So I went with first, he was out in round one, which you'll find the results later. And I was already off, all that stuff. Anyways, I have Flanders and I have Maggie. I also have Barney going through because it's Barney, you know. Notorious for his burps
it's
and
Barney,
stuff.
Yay!
Yes, his
it's
drunkenness.
You gotta
wait.
Add the burp.
Right?
I can't do that on command. I'm sorry.
And then from there, I have Maggie going through, beating everyone because it's Maggie. Mm-hmm. Maggie's a smart girl, and she's done a lot more good for the family. So I think she deserves a little bit of, like, she should be up there. But I know everyone loves Homer. Whatever. I'm going with Maggie. On the other side, I have Krusty beating Lisa. Lisa's wasn't in my top five. So I figured, I think Krusty has a good chance to go all the way. Didn't vote for Bart. Again, underdog kind of stuff. I want to see Ralph kind of get there, and then I want to see Ralph and Krusty go at it. I don't know why. Krusty's going to win, and then I am assuming Maggie's going to take it all, so there's the M.
Okay.
Nice.
An M with a W. All right.
Oh, yeah. I was like, W. See, delusional.
An M with a
dub. Upside down, it goes W to Wumbo.
Wumbo.
Wumbo. I Wumbo, you Wumbo.
All right, so.
He, she, we Wumbo. Wombology. Wombology. The study of Wombo.
That's this week's now, episode.
This is first
meeting,
grade
meeting adjourned.
It's from SpongeBob.
Meeting adjourned. Okay, let's take a look at Andrew's. Andrew got super fancy with his because he went all out with the images. This is what I did last year. I did not do this year. Andrew, take us down your thought process.
Yeah, so, okay. So I started with thinking, okay, who's actually gonna win? And then I gave up on that halfway through. So I'm like, okay, Homer, yeah, he's gonna win against Sideshow Bob, even though Sideshow Bob was my number one, and I think he should win. I think Homer would beat him in the poll. Dr. Nick versus Barney is kind of a toss-up. I am a bigger fan of Dr. Nick, so there goes Dr. Nick. Flanders versus Willie. I think Flanders will probably win it in the poll, but again, Willie I'm a bigger fan of, even though I do like Flanders. Maggie versus Mr. Burns. Maggie takes it because we know Maggie takes it. It happened in real life. in real life. and then this is where chaos started to happen on this side. I said Dr. Nick beats Homer and Willie beats Maggie. And then Willie versus Dr. Nick. We have Willie going to the other side again, kind of starting with who I think is going to win. So Bart versus Mo. I have Bart. Grandpa versus Ralph Wiggum, even though I'm a bigger fan of Grandpa. I thought Ralph would win. Comic book guy versus Troy McClure was kind of a toss-up. I picked comic book guy just as a, I think he's a little more popular. He's in more episodes, I think. I don't know. And then Lisa versus Krusty. Lisa's boring. Krusty fun. So Krusty. And then here's where this one I kind of kept, you know, Krusty versus comic book guy, Krusty, obviously. Bart versus Ralph, Bart. But then I have Krusty beating Bart. So it becomes Krusty versus Groundskeeper Willie. And Krusty is victorious in my chaos bracket.
Okay. I mean, listen, I think Krusty's actually a pretty solid contender to actually take all of this. Cause...
I mean, he's one of the top four. Yeah. So it's not surprising, but... I mean, it's I knocked Homer out of there pretty early, and I mean, so did Melissa. But it's Homer's hard to beat. He's Homer J. Simpson. Like, what can
he
you
is
do?
Very hard to beat. Yeah. All right. So let me take you down my thought process. If you thought your bracket was chaos, welcome to my bracket. All right. So match number one, I had predicted that Bob would take it because he's got a knife. I mean, come on. Like Homer would see that. He'd be like, ah, and then he'd like run away. Right. So by process of elimination, Homer would eliminate himself, helping Bob advance. Mm-hmm. In the match against Dr. Nick and Barney, Dr. Nick would try to come up with some concoction, and he'd be like, here, you drink this. And then Barney would be like, ah, oh, this is great. And then he'd like drink it, but nothing would happen because all that drinking he does at most tavern has essentially made him immune to all the crap that Dr. Nick would throw his way. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Nick, he's like, there must be something wrong. And then he drinks it and goes out, right? So Barney advances because Dr. Nick throws himself out. Flanders goes up against Groundskeeper Willie. And so Willie's all like, look at Willie! He opens up his shirt and he's like, jacked, right? Little does he know that Flanders is also jacked. They fight to the death. Flanders comes out on top because he's all like, I'm going to take you and I'm going to do this. He's like, stop talking. Just fight. He's all like, no, I'm going to save you. And then Flanders wins because Willie's like, I can't take it. So Flanders like takes the round, right? Mm-hmm. Your logic, super solid. We saw this happen. Maggie takes out Mr. Burns. Come on now. No, we're not retconning it. It wasn't Homer. Again, it was Maggie.
Mm-hmm.
Bart versus Mo. You know, he outsmarts him every time that he calls, and I don't think this would be any different. It's going to be Bart. I'm sorry. Bart advances every time. Grandpa versus Ralph. You know, Ralph is just Ralph, and he somehow outsmarts Grandpa. And Grandpa's all like, oh, you little whippersnapper! And then he, like, you know, he has a
heart attack in the middle.
He's out. He gets taken to... No, he survives, right? Like, he gets taken to the hospital. Oh. Like, they fix him all up. But he's out because now he can't compete anymore because, you know, he's so scared about this little Ralph kid, like, picking his nose that he's like, I can't. And so, like, he's fine.
Gosh, it wasn't like Ralph Wiggum with chair.
No. not yet. Hold on. Comic book guy versus Troy McClure. On wit alone, comic book guy would verbally assault Troy McClure and his vanity to the point where he's like, I may live in my mother's basement, but, you know, and just throw these like quips at him where he would make Troy McClure crumble. Lisa versus Krusty. Listen, Lisa was part of the whole gang of kids at Camp Krusty that overthrew the camp. Krusty never forgot that. So he got his revenge, made some calls, sent Mr. Teeny to do some of the dirty work, tied up Lisa in the closet with her saxophone. She can't compete because she's trapped in the closet. Once the competition's over, Mr. Teeny will let her out. Sorry, Krusty is super dirty. All right? Like, he doesn't play clean. You know,
I mean, I guess not as dirty as Willie or Flanders killing.
I know
Willie.
That just went PG, just went out the window.
Listen, I didn't make up the rules, man. Like, this is just how it would go down in Springfield.
You didn't, did you?
This
you
is how it would go down in Springfield. I'm just telling you how it would down in Springfield.
Okay. Gotcha. So, you've watched more Simpsons episodes.
We're just helping them write more,
right? So, Ralph versus Krusty. Ralph starts talking, drives Krusty mad.
Ralph versus...
Oh, sorry.
What, Ralph? Ralph you skipped a whole row.
No, I didn't. I got all of those. Yeah.
You didn't do Bart versus Ralph and comic book guy versus
Ralph was
going
to take it.
Yeah. Well, okay. So back to the other side. So Bob versus Flanders. Sorry.
Okay.
I should have skipped back there. All right. Okay. So Bob versus Barney. Okay, right. I did skip them. I'm so sorry.
I did.
I'm so sorry. So Bob versus Krusty. I got excited. So Bob versus Krusty.
I need you to tell me the story, Hazen.
Again, Bob has a knife. Barney's been drinking all this crazy stuff. He's got all the stuff that Dr. Nick gave him. And Bob is about to approach Barney to try to advance. And he lifts up his knife and Barney collapses because, you know, he drank so much. He just passes out. And Bob's all like, he kicks him a little bit. He's all like, are you okay? And Barney's like, and goes back to sleep. And he just tiptoes around him and advances to the next round.
Oh, that's nice of him.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really super cool. Flanders versus Maggie. Flanders is all like, oh, what a cute little baby. What are you doing out here? And like, where's your mom? And like, he's trying to take care of Maggie. And Maggie's like done with Flanders, right? She may be the youngest of the Simpsons, but even she can't stand stupid Flanders, right? And so she's like, I'm out, throws the pacifier, just walks away. Like, she's not even gonna put up with this. And Flanders is like, but what's she just forfeits, right? So Flanders advances because Maggie forfeited. So the other side now. So Bart versus Ralph. Bart usually comes out on top. You know, Bart isn't considered one of the bullies the way that, like, Nelson is. But in this case, Ralph can be kind of annoying. And he goes into one of his things about how Lisa chose him. And like, he's like, no, I can't do this. No, no. And he tries to go punch Ralph, but he accidentally trips and falls and tumbles down the street because it was a downhill thing. And so Ralph is like, oh, I'll help you. Let me go get help. And he turns around to go get help, and he totally forgets that he has to help Bart. But he realizes, oh, right, I'm in this competition, and he just advances because Bart is, like, tumbling down the hill. Eventually, somebody will help him because they're going to realize, like, where's Bart? And Ralphie will finally be like, oh, he's down the hill. But by then, like, he already advanced, right? So anyway, Comic Book Guy versus Krusty. He tries to quip him the same way that he did with Troy McClure, but Krusty is so much more savage than Comic Book Guy is that he renders him into submission just on verbal attacks. Comic Book Guy gets into the fetal position. He's in a corner. He's like, oof. I'm never going to go up against this guy again, right? And so Krusty's laughing all the way into the next round.
All right.
So Bob versus Flanders. All right. So now it's getting to the nitty gritty, right? Because you have this like this murderer, right? It's like the Bart, the right. And so he's going up against Flanders. You know, he's very pious. You know, he's very like God fearing. And so Flanders tries to save Bob. And so Bob says, yeah, no, and gets rid of Flanders. And so Bob advances.
He just gets rid of Flanders.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Does this knife have anything to do with
it? No. He just, like, he put him in a bag and he got rid of him. What do you think? What do you think I meant?
I don't know.
What do you think I meant?
You brought up the knife a bunch. I mean,
he's waving it around because he was making sandwiches. He was using it to cut food. Come on now.
Sandwiches.
Yeah, he was cutting sandwiches. So now we go to the other side. We got Ralph versus Krusty.
Flandwitches.
Ralph versus Krusty. Again, Ralph, super sweet, but he likes to ramble on about Lisa. He's really, like, he's got this cute annoyingness to him that takes Krusty over the edge. And he tries to get to Ralph, and he tries to insult him, and he tries to quip him, but Ralph is just so dense that he doesn't understand any of it. Krusty gets super frustrated. He starts tearing his hair out. He's like, I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore, kid. He just tires himself out, goes back to the studio, and Ralph advances because Krusty's like, whatever. I'm not even going to do this anymore. So now we got Bob versus Ralph. And Bob's like, interesting. I thought I was going to be going up against Krusty. And Ralph's like, no, I beat him. And so he's like, well, now you have me to deal with. And so Ralph starts talking to him about how Krusty was telling him all these things. And he's like, well, I'm going to do worse. And he's waving the knife because, you know, he's going to make a sandwich and stuff for him. He's going to cut it into like maybe diagonally down the middle. I don't know, whatever you prefer. And then Ralph just kind of starts walking around. Bob can't get to him. And this is totally the reverse of what normally happens in a horror movie, right? Like in a horror movie, you have the protagonist, the hero, like the victim, essentially running at full speed and they can't get away. Like while the killer is like slowly behind them every step of the way. It looks like they're not breaking a sweat. In this case, it's different.
Right.
Ralph just keeps evading Bob, and he keeps like going through these like little trap doors and like through bushes and everything, and he can't figure out why he can't get to Ralph. He's like, this imbecile, like whatever Bob would say, right? Like he can't get to Ralph. And so Ralph tries to hide up on the roof. He finds a ladder, climbs up on a roof, and accidentally drops the ladder onto Bob. And so Bob's like, ooh, right? And so he walks forward and he hits a rake with his foot and it slaps him in the face. He's like, ooh. And so he turns around and he walks like a step around. And boom, another rake in the face. Ooh. And he just keeps going back and forth between the two rakes. And Ralph is looking at him. He's like, okay, bye. And then he just like advances and then boom, Ralph wins the whole freaking show.
You know what? I could actually see an episode like that where it's like a battle royale, and he just happens to be at the very top. Like, I could
Ralph
see that.
Ralph Wiggum with a ladder.
See? I got my ladder in. It would have been nice to have a folding chair in there somewhere, but maybe the matchup between Flanders and Willie had a folding chair in there somewhere. Who knows?
Oh, you never
know. Yeah, you never know. But yeah, I'm thinking Ralph is going to take the whole thing. That's my prediction.
All right, let's see how wrong all three of us
That's
are.
My story, and I'm sticking to it.
Because I haven't been right yet.
Same. You know, honestly, when we first thought about doing the predictions, I did want to go the safe route and, like, go with my gut and figure out, like, Homer's going to win the whole thing, right? Like, he is a strong candidate. And what Brian said made a lot of sense, which is why for the next one, I really just want to consider taking that advice and not putting any of the popular characters in, right? But in this case...
Tertiary characters only!
When
Flanders is dead wife!
Well, when both of you... when both of you started talking about who you were going to choose and your logic, I was like, you know what? Uh-huh. I'm going to throw a huge monkey wrench in this one. And... how big of a monkey wrench? How much bigger can it get than Ralph?
Yeah.
You know? So.
You know, I did the one bracket where Roger Rabbit won was in every
bracket.
That
is true.
And surprisingly, he didn't even win.
Yeah, he didn't even win. It was bizarre. It was very
Who
sad.
Won? Buzz Lightyear? Like, who?
Probably Buzz Lightyear. Stupid. Whatever.
Buzz Lightyear.
I don't even remember what that was for.
We...
our favorite characters, we just picked characters. I don't even remember.
We ended up, we did last year. So here's what went down. So last year, did we do three or four brackets last year?
We did at least three because we did the March Mayhem in April,
June.
And then the Indiana Jones one.
Yeah.
That was in June.
So we did do three.
March, April, March Mayhem in April.
In June.
Yeah.
Raiders. Raiders of the March.
Yeah.
Raiders March Mayhem in April, but in June. Is what it was called.
Or whatever it was. Yeah, something like that.
But then in between...
we're real clever with titles.
Yeah, but then in between, Andrew had joked about wanting Roger Rabbit in a bracket, and he says, I'm going to fix it so that Roger Rabbit wins. And every single participant in the bracket was Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And at the end, we're like, imagine he doesn't even win.
Yeah, here it is, Mickey Mouse.
That's fantastic.
You know who's boring? Mickey Mouse. Just saying. Sorry, everybody that likes Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse, boring.
What do you mean I'm boring?
Boring. That's
maybe,
what I have to say.
Maybe
Mickey
not
Mouse.
Boring, but predictable.
Andrew, let me make you a sandwich.
Mickey with the folding chair.
Steamboat Willie.
Mickey. Mickey off the top rope.
Who's this? They're tagging in. Oh,
it's Steamboat Pete.
Steamboat Pete.
Dude, speaking of those characters, so I've been playing Speedstorm a lot more. I've been trying to catch up, and I'm so upset at Speedstorm right now. It's not even funny. I've gone. So remember, I was like super psyched. I was like, you got to play. It's like Mario Kart, but with Disney characters. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, it is. It's a lot more complicated because they have like the different types of drivers and all that stuff that you can learn how to drive. Defenders and Brawlers and Tricksters and Speedsters and everything. And each has its own power. Remember when we were psyched about Dreamlight Valley eventually going free to play?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad it's not right now. Because we have the premium shop and you have the option of buying the cosmetics and everything for the houses and, you know, the clothes or the animals, like the critters and stuff. But you don't need that stuff to enjoy the game, right? It's just additional stuff. Speedstorm is in a place right now where the only advantage I had is that I had the Founders Edition because I paid for early access the way that I did with Dreamlight Valley. And so I got a couple of season tokens and some, you know, coins that I could use to buy additional things and everything. And it helped me unlock a handful of characters really early on in the game. Then, you know, I stopped playing, you know, for, you know, personal reasons and stuff. And I recently picked up the game again. But I missed like three seasons in between being able to play. And the seasons run like 2-3 months each, like in between each of them. And in those seasons, I ended up missing Wally, Eve, Aladdin, Jasmine, aww, Jafar, Steamboat Willie and Pete, Minnie, Daisy,
Cravers,
Lilo, Lilo, Stitch, Angel. But, like, I missed so many characters, like, to unlock them. And what they have is this thing called the Season Pass, where you get, like, 9 weeks worth of, like, participation that they unlock every week. Like, they unlock the next chapter on a weekly basis. And they have challenges. Like, they have a straightforward route where you can advance to the next chapter, but then they have these, like, branches that you can play as well that give you additional, like, coins and shards, is what they call the tokens that you use to unlock other racers. But to unlock a new racer, it's 20 shards per racer. And each time you do a challenge, you get one or two, like, per. And then they'll say, you know, if you want to unlock it, there's this new deal in the store, in the shop that you can have. And so it's like 1,200 shards to unlock a character. And then they instantly give you the 20 shards. But 1,500 shards is $20. So it's almost $20 per racer to unlock someone new. And that's when they are on sale.
And you got like 25 of them that you
Like this, and what's worse is that you can pay to buy more shards to increase them so that they star up faster and they're stronger, they're faster, all their, you know, stats go up. The game is 100% pay to win now. And in the season pass that I'm playing right now, I actually just talked to Jason about this because they have these little mini competition things where they give you 3 attempts. It's like a speed trial, basically, a time trial. And if you beat the, like, if they average you out into as many players as are that are playing the time trial. And for the first time, I ended up in the top 30% of the racers. And I did it with Triton because the Little Mermaid is the current season. And it's really, really easy to level up Triton if you're basically playing with him at least 3 times a week, like for an hour or so at a time. And that's the bad thing, that unless you're playing like a good hour or two every day, you miss out on leveling up your characters. For people that aren't playing an hour or two a day, you may not be able to unlock Ursula at the end of the season because of the way that it's all set up. And I'm already dreading that I'm not going to be able to do it because it's like chapter 7 right now. And I already need 5 characters. They're mandatory for those, like, those tasks. I have 5 characters that I don't have. Like, Steamboat Willie and Pete were 2 of them. Minnie and Daisy are others. All of the Aladdin characters are listed for these other tasks. So it's like I've reached the point where I feel like I can't recommend Speedstorm anymore. It's, and what's worse is that if you, almost with any racing game that I've played, if you are playing locally with people where, you know, where it splits the screen into quadrants or like in half when you're playing, all the racers are unlocked because you're playing locally. Okay. There's no competition. There's no ranking. There's no anything. It's just fun, right? If you haven't unlocked a racer in Speedstorm, you can't play them locally. And that was a recent change. That was not the case before because I was able to play with my kids, like with local players when we first got the game. And somewhere in between me not playing and like now, they made a change where now I can't even use the characters that I haven't unlocked. Like, you have to do one of their special events to try out one of these new racers. So It's sad.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I'm glad that Dreamlight Valley didn't take this model and go free to play, because we would have been inundated, I feel, with all of these quests and all these money grabs in order to enhance the game. So as much as it sucks for me to say that it's not free for people to jump into Dreamlight Valley, man, if Speedstorm is any indication of where it was going to go, I'm so glad we're not there. And I hope it never goes free, if that's the case. So, anyway, side rant over.
Well, and here's an update on Andrew's video gaming. I still haven't opened up Dreamlight Valley. So there you go. There's an update for me.
But after this week, once the show's done, you should be able to play, right?
Maybe. I don't know. I have 1,000 shows going on at all the time. So who knows? Maybe if I get some actual sleep and
that's valuable.
Get to catch up on housework and, other chores and
adult
things
stuff.
To do. Maybe then I'll get to open up. And I still got to play Monopoly.
Oh, those stickers of
Monopoly right now. There's an event going on, and Melissa's out of dice, and it's fine.
I am. I'm telling you the truth. Why am I going to lie?
I'm going to finish another event twice in a row, and I'm so sad about it. It's not your fault. It's fine. It's fine. Anybody else that plays Monopoly, they understand.
If anybody is playing Monopoly Go on their mobile device, head over to the Podcateers Discord and drop your information so Andrew can add you, so he can have more people.
And
Mel. Yeah.
We could trade stickers.
Yay, yeah, stickers.
I'm on my second album.
All right. Well, before we continue, I want to take a moment to thank a very special group of listeners known as the FGP Squad, our podcast for your godparents, because it's their support via Patreon that helped make these episodes of Podcateers possible. If you want more information on how you can become part of the FGP Squad family, we invite you to check out podcateers.com/FGP. There you will find a list of some of our top contributors, a link to our Patreon, some info about what the FGP Squad is all about. But, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us over on Instagram or on Discord. We'd love to have you as a part of the community. But being a part of the FGP Squad family gets you some additional perks, like access to discount codes for any new Podcateers gear that we release. Access to our happy hour calls when we get an opportunity to do those, random giveaways, a special section of Discord, additional content that we've uploaded to Patreon, and more. So again, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us. We'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. And of course, to all of the members of the FGP Squad, we just want to send a huge thank you for your continued support. All right. So, let's see. What else do we have? Oh, you know what I got an opportunity to watch this weekend?
What?
The new Wonka movie.
Ooh.
Oh, we watched that too.
Yeah. Before I jump into it, what did you think, Andrew?
I liked it pretty good. I have to tell you, I'm kind of a contrarian. Not contrarian. Antithesis of most people. I'm not a big fan of this Timothy Chalamet guy.
Timothée.
I didn't think he was Timothée. Yeah, whatever. I don't know. I thought he was all right in the movie. I liked literally everybody else in the movie. I thought it was a great, fun movie. He's just, I don't know if it's just me or nostalgia or what going on with me not liking, not liking, but not being such a big fan of his performance as Wonka specifically. But I liked every other person in the cast. I thought was great. And I did like the storyline and how it went. So I recommend the movie. Most people probably like it a lot better than I liked it a lot. I'm not a big fan of this Timothy Chalamet guy.
Get it.
So I don't know what it is. But the rest of the movie is great, and I'm sure people enjoy this movie just fine. It was a lot of fun. And it's songs and musicals and dance numbers and stuff. It's fun. Yeah.
So I enjoyed this film way more than I thought I was going to enjoy it. So I'll start off by saying that. I didn't know what to expect because it felt a little shady to me that at first we got all these sneak peeks, we got the trailer, and they were like, oh, you know, it's a story, the pre-story of Willy Wonka before he got the factory and everything. But they hid the fact that it was a musical, right? Oh, and so when it started to come out that it was a musical, because there's a lot of singing, there's a lot of dancing, and when that came out, I thought, why are they hiding this? Are they not sure that it's going to do well because it's a musical? Is it bad because it's a musical? Like, why are they hiding this? And after watching it, I actually really enjoyed it. I really did my best to walk into it without the pretense of this is not Gene Wilder. Or like with, you know, I wanted to make sure that I didn't compare him to Gene Wilder, because I think that's the first thing that everybody wants to do. You compare the performance. It's a perfect performance almost by Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka, right? And
yeah,
it was different. I like the story. I like the elements that they included as to why he ended up there and how he ended up there and all of that. Down to even Hugh Grant's Oompa Loompa performance, which I know he hated after seeing some interviews with him, and it went really well. I think it played well into the demeanor of the Oompa Loompa and the interactions that he had with Willy Wonka, right?
Okay.
So in short, I'll say that I recommend it. I thought it was really fun. There's a couple of choruses in a couple of songs that are earworms, like you may find yourself repeating them throughout the day.
Scrub, scrub.
Yeah, scrub, scrub is definitely one of them. I not to ruin the movie, this is really early on in one of the first scenes, but I love the homage to Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. There's a scene where Willy tosses up a coin and it ends up in a sewer drain. And in the film, it's almost like it's the one that Charlie finds in the sewer and picks up. Like, is it there all those years later? Like, I don't know. But if that's the connection between the two, like, I just thought it was like a cute little homage to the other film as well. Did I like this one more than the Johnny Depp version? 300%. I may not like... You know, I don't even know how to say that. Like, I like Tim Burton, I like Johnny Depp, but as Willy Wonka, it's this performance with Timothée Chalamet was way better.
Okay,
like it just here's the deal. Like, to me, Willy Wonka is very wholesome, right? The like even though there's that like weird like. It feels like there's times where he's being malicious because of how he's trying to sort out the kids and everything and figure out who's going to keep the factory. But in general, he's a very wholesome character.
It's called chaotic good.
It's chaotic good, exactly. Yeah, that's a great way to describe him. And Johnny Depp's Willy Wonka was just chaotic.
Yeah,
there was no chaotic good. It was just chaotic, right? But... Timothy Chalamet's Wonka was, it felt like the early version of Gene Wilder's. It did feel like the teen version that evolved into the Gene Wilder version. I didn't like some of the aesthetic choices of what they ended up doing with like the factory and stuff, but you know, that could be corrected
the
later.
The end factory or the middle
end
factory or the
end factory.
Oh, the end factory.
Yeah. But you know, I could get over that. I liked everything else so much that I could totally get over that part of it. So
nice.
The villains are very like immediately like you just want to
hate
them.
Yes.
Like it's like immediately like they do their first thing of like badness towards Willy Wonka and you're like, yep, I hate these guys. Mm-hmm. They suck.
You know what else? The plot twist. Normally I can see the way that things are written and I can feel the plot twist coming. I didn't see the plot twist coming until well after half of the movie was done. And I think I was enjoying it so much that I wasn't trying to nitpick everything and be like, yep, this is how it's going to turn out. I just kind of enjoyed it, right? And so that played a lot into why I would say this is a good watch if you haven't had a chance to see it. It's currently streaming on Max if you have that service. that's all I'm going to say about it. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, give it a go, Melissa. It was a good fun. Anybody else listening to us? It was fun. It's not terribly long. It's a good length for a movie, I think. It didn't feel long, no. Even if it was long, I don't remember. But yeah, it's fun. I do think that he did a good homage to Gene Wilder. I just think it's, I don't know. I'm in theater and I see it a lot. And he seems very much like theater kid, like means stuff to some people. Yeah. Like, and so there's some people that like I can get over it with, and some people I'm just like it just kind of like pushes through too much. So that's what I see in Mr. Timothy, is, but it's not a bad, like, it's just a me thing. I think literally everybody else will not have a problem with it. Like,
who knows?
I don't know. I got issues, man, with movies, but I really did enjoy the movie. I think, and to speak on the musical thing on it too, this seems to be a trend with movies that they are like marketing to adults. They're like, it's a musical, but we're not going to tell anybody. It happened with the Mean Girls movie as well, which was based off the Broadway musical Mean Girls, which is based off the film Mean Girls. In none of the trailers or marketing was there any of the singing. There was some of the music, like tracks, like the orchestration, but not the like singing part of it used in the trailer. And it's like, I just think that there's either executives or somebody that are like, even though the movie is a musical and there's plenty of musical people that like musicals to go see musicals, the people that, I think their rationale is the people that are fans of musicals will find out that it's a musical and will go. And we can trick all the other people that might necessarily avoid it because it's a musical. They trick them by not telling them it's a musical and getting them in there and be like, ha ha, it's a musical and you're going to like it. We got your $12 or 20. However much a movie is.
And they trick you because they don't put the first song in there until minute 27 when you can't get a refund anymore.
Wait, really?
No. I was like,
wow.
I was like, Mean Girls opens with a music, like a song. It's like a complete musical. So, but anyway, yeah. So that's kind of like a whole debacle that's like happened on the internet, you know, because Mean Girls and Willy Wonka both open kind of close to each other. So it was just like kind of similar marketing tactics, which was kind of interesting to see play out.
If you think Wonka and Mean Girls were a problem not advertising that they were musicals, wait until you go watch Dune.
Hey, Mr. Timothy's in that one too,
or
right?
You think it's a musical? It's not a musical, in case dudes. People are asking or wondering.
There
it's
are
not.
Big worms. These are dunes.
But they do have an interesting looking popcorn bucket for that film, which we won't get into in this podcast, but yeah. Anyway,
come with me.
Let's see. Oh, by the way, that song. I think the way, like, I was hoping and expecting that they would use it and not absolutely destroy the legacy of that song. I think they did really well with how they sang it and how they put it into the film.
Well, because they just repurposed it. Basically.
Yeah, they didn't try to get super crazy with it. Yeah, but I liked what they did with it. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Mel, speaking of movies, tell us a little bit. I know you're super excited about this because this is like your franchise here.
It is.
Tell us.
It is. I'm excited to go back to the grid. And yes, I'm talking about Tron 3 or Tren, Three?
Train. Mexican train.
Choo-choo.
It's been exciting, and I know a lot of people have their, like, opinions and stuff. I don't care at this point. We have a, well, Disney released a picture of, I guess, just the suit, like the evil, like the bad guy, which is Jared Leto. I don't know much about the film, but what I could say.
Ares,
thank you.
Right.
It's late. Forgive me.
I Googled it.
Thank you.
Oh, hold on. My phone is yelling at me because I said Google. Sorry.
So the outfit that we first saw is black and red, which is really, really cool because it's only been, you know, blue or teal and white and orange. We've never seen red.
Yeah.
And the coolest thing about the outfit itself is the backside, the disc. It's coffin shape, which is like, okay, so this guy is the bad guy. Like, why would you have a coffin shape disc? It looks pretty cool. Now, the part that I'm really excited about is that when Tron Legacy came out, you know, social media was different. We didn't see anything until there was a trailer that dropped, or if we saw pictures released by the studios. And now, like, on Reddit, on different websites, yeah, isn't that cool looking?
you know what it looks like to me? But it looks like one of the newer arc reactors. It looks like Iron Man's head was spun behind his back, like, and it's like the back on the front of the Iron Man suit. It just looks like an arc reactor.
We get a cameo from, you know, Tony Stark.
We could. Who knows? And it's a musical, which is great.
Yep.
So, you know, everybody's going to be singing in the grid. I'm singing in the grid. That's how it goes down.
Right? So, as I was saying about social media, you know, we didn't see any of that. But now, today, like, what, a week or two into filming, people are actually going to these filming locations and taking video, taking pictures of all the little things that they see. And someone actually, this is footage that's been kind of going around because it's on Reddit. There's like a 20 second clip of Jared Leto in his outfit, and they're just walking into the NCOM building, and you can't get any more hype. Like, okay, maybe you're not gonna be happy for it, but for those of us who are, it's really cool because we're getting to see a lot more things in real time by people who really love the film or love Tron and just in general. And there's been a lot of props, posters, like, all around the city. I do not remember where it's being filmed at the moment, so sorry.
In the grid. Hello.
It is. Yes. We'll just say that. But seeing, like, the different vehicles and whatnot, just those little things make it exciting for me. So I'm like, this has been coming out in about, 2 weeks ago or so, and I'm excited. I want to talk about it. And I know there's a lot of you, especially Larry. Larry knows he's got a love for Tron as well. Got you, dude. So, yeah, I should ask him how he feels, because it's just been, 10 years-ish, a decade. It's been a decade since Tron Legacy. So
yeah,
it's pretty cool to see all these little things. And I'll get the pictures so that we could post it or whatnot so that everybody could see. But it's cool. Like, we don't have to wait for a trailer. Like,
yeah,
there it is on the internet.
I mean, the suit looks amazing. I mean, I know I kind of joked about it with the whole arc reactor thing, but
it, like, looks cool.
From like on the level up standpoint from the last costumes that they did for Legacy and on this one, like that helmet looks super cool.
Right.
I don't like the like weird, like it almost like a scorpion tail, like on the back of it, but it's also like aerodynamic looking so that if you're like zooming through the grid or something, like you're, mm-hmm. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like this look. He's the so Sith.
It is. Oh, Darth Tron Maul Sith. Is going to come out in it.
Right? that's the sound that the identity disc is going to make.
Right? He just...
So there's three corners, so a lightsaber will come out of each corner.
So instead of a staff like Darth Maul's, it's like a star that he spins that's got like three.
Yeah. And you put your hand through the hole
what?
And you spin it.
I think we solved the mystery. And it's a musical. Sorry.
Of course.
And it's a musical. We are in the grid and they do tap dancing.
That would be funny if they did tap dancing.
An electric. That would be cool. Like
yeah.
electronic
Yeah, they have
music,
like, yeah. yeah, it's taps, but they have like pickups in them. So when they tap, it's
dubstep.
Like.
Dubstep.
Instead of dubstep or EDM, they have like somebody on a piano.
It's like that scene in Big where,
can you tell we're
where they dance on the piano.
Oh, this is great. So yeah, Tron Ares or Mexican Train Ares.
Choo choo.
When does it come out? When is it?
Next year. Next year.
Okay.
There's no
so there's
some
still
time.
Yeah. It's just all 2025.
Right. Unless they change their mind. Unless Bob Iger's all like, nope, we're treating this like Marvel.
No. No. Don't do it, Bobby.
Like,
don't be like WB.
Zaslav.
We're shelving it for tax purposes. So, speaking of Bob, let's talk a little bit about the Disney earnings call before we wrap up the episode, because
Robert A. Iger.
There was some news that Bob Iger decided to cancel a ton of Marvel projects. And it's not the big films or anything. It was some of the smaller productions like Wiccan and Armor Wars and sadly Ghost Rider, the series that they were planning to do is now officially scrapped as well. I'm not sure if there's an official list, but during the business call, I'm trying to remember which publication had it. I got the quotes and I'm sorry I don't remember the publications, but during this interview he said you have to kill things you no longer believe in, and that's not easy in this business because either you've gotten started and you've got some sunk costs, or it's a relationship with either your employees or with the creative community. It's not an easy thing, but you got to make those tough calls. We've actually made those tough calls. We've not been that public about it, but we've killed a few projects already that we didn't feel were strong enough. Along with that, he addressed the idea that superhero fatigue, you know, was a thing, because there's been a lot of talk about mm-hmm. superhero fatigue. And when he was asked about that, he pushed back. He said that it's not an accident that Marvel's first 33 films generated under $30 billion at the box office. He says, a lot of people think it's audience fatigue. It's not audience fatigue. They want great films, and if you build it great, they will come, and there are countless examples of that. Some are ours, and some are others. Oppenheimer is a perfect example of that. Just a fantastic film. Focus is really important. We reduce the output of Marvel, but number of films they make and the number of TV shows, and that really becomes critical. But I feel good about the team. I feel good about the IP we're making. I talked about a lot of the projects. We look years ahead, really, and it's iterative. He's not wrong.
So we should kill Bob Iger, is what he's saying.
Where is Sideshow Bob?
He
wants to make
him
a sandwich. No, here's, listen, I've had a lot of ups and downs with how I feel about Bob Iger, right? Mm-hmm. There's been mm-hmm. some decisions that I think were really great. There's some decisions that have just been really upsetting, you know, on a personal level. And mm-hmm. a lot of his decisions obviously affect the entire company, not just, you know, one or two people. Mm-hmm. But the idea that he's cutting back on shows just for the purpose of having content is actually a good idea mm-hmm. because although some of the things that were put out on Disney Plus were fantastic, a lot of them were really great to watch. Like I know a lot of people don't put it very high, but I really liked WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think it's one of the better things that they've put out there. Werewolf by Night, one of the best things they put out as a special, cinematically, mm-hmm. story-wise, like stylistically. It's just so unique and so amazing.
Definitely.
Ultimately, I think we're just gonna get, that's what I hope, actually. I hope that we get better Marvel content from this because he's going to cut back. Like, the writers are gonna be able to clean up the projects that they are working on and that they are keeping, and that they're going to be better in the long run because they're cutting out all the additional stuff just to have the content. Instead, Bob, give us Wonderful World of Disney and Lizzie McGuire or whatever's missing from Disney Plus. And guess what? You don't need to make other stuff. Just give us the stuff we've wanted since the launch of Disney Plus.
Yep.
10 billion minutes of TV and movies or something. I don't know. Yeah. Something ridiculous. Just scan it and put it on. Like,
or
it's fine.
Or go back and pay whatever you had to pay to retract what you pulled off the service for tax reasons.
Yeah, put Life Earth to Ned.
It's funny. That's the same show that I was thinking about, about them putting back on the service.
And Willow.
No, they could keep Willow. It's fine. I'm cool with that.
And Jeff Goldblum and whatever else they took off.
So anyway, in short, it looks like we're going to have much fewer Marvel projects in the long run. I'll try to look for a list of the ones that are actually going to be affected, and then we can do a follow-up after. I didn't get a chance to
Less
do that.
Marvel projects, more Indiana Jones projects.
Yes, please.
If we were running it. Dun, 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 dun. Young Sala coming to Disney Plus. I'm still going to keep saying it. Young Sala.
It can happen.
What's he been up to? Old Short Round. How about that?
It can be a musical.
Young Sala.
Still
good.
And an old short round.
It could be a musical.
Yeah, we get, look who's having a renaissance right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get, he's been on K.H. Kwan, he's been on Loki and the movies and all that stuff. Make a show for him.
Yep.
I agree.
Old, I don't think it should be called Old Short Round. Tall Round.
No,
it should not be called
just say
that.
Short Round, the adventures continue.
Oh.
There you go, Disney. There
short
you go.
Round, the next generation.
Come on.
He trains the new
Come
short
on.
Rounds.
Disney Plus show where he's, I think we talked about this before or something, but where he's like doing his own, trying to be Indiana Jones thing, even though following in the footsteps, but not doing the same kind of stuff. And
like storytelling.
And it would be so good. Disney Plus. Come
it
on.
It could be like the next Karate Kid. Like, he's training the next Indiana Jones.
Yep.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, get him back. And Harrison Ford just like, wax on.
You know what I do. That's funny. All right. So the other thing that came out of that earnings call is the more confusing of the two, I would say. For a long time, Disney has been talking about bringing an Avatar experience to the Disneyland Resort. And you know, there's not a lot of space at Disneyland to do anything like this. California Adventure might have a couple of places, and by experience, we really don't know what they mean, right? It could be something as simple as a Navi meet and greet somewhere, to using all of Innoventions to do something like they did with Marvel or with Star Wars, but now it's all Pandora inside. You know, you don't know. Like, there isn't anything laid out. They mentioned, like, this has been going on for quite some time now, and I'm assuming that the reason that they're doing this is because they want to plant the seed for an announcement at D23 later this year, where we'll get a little bit more information about it. There was an Imagineer that was recently at a conference where he accidentally let it slip. I think it was at the IAAPA, the International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions.
House of Pancakes.
House of Pancakes, exactly. Yeah. There was an Imagineer that made a comment about how the Avatar experience that was coming to the Disneyland Resort was going to be at California Adventure. And so that may have given some stuff away. If it was coming, there was probably Stage 19 or one of those like big like buildings that they have off on the side.
I figured out what it is. Section in World of Color. We did it, folks. The Avatar experience, way of World of Color of Water.
They have drones picking up some of
those. It's already done. It's there.
Avatar, the World of Color Water.
Colored water.
Watercolor world. Avacolor. Ooh, I don't know.
That's interesting.
Avacolor.
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 It's going to be like Frozen all over again. Everywhere.
Dr. Grace Augustine.
Joy. Yeah.
All right.
Right? No. Is that her? I don't
probably
know.
Probably. I haven't watched them, so I don't know. But here's what's interesting, right? One, I could care less because it's Avatar. Whatever. But here's what's interesting. This has always been referred to as an Avatar experience until this earnings call. He called it an Avatar Land, which means that there's been a lot of talk that we haven't really gotten into about Disneyland Forward and the $2 billion over the 10 years that Disney's going to be investing into the city of Anaheim, the expansion plans. Are they talking about adding a land as part of this expansion as kind of an extension, maybe a third gate? Or what if they demolished Tomorrowland and Tomorrowland became the new section that housed Avatar?
Well, but if we know it's going to be in DCA, it's not going to be Tomorrowland. I think there would be a riot. I would be on
how
the riot lines.
How long have we been asking for Tomorrowland to be touched up just a little bit? And yet nothing, so...
There would be a riot. There would be chaos in the streets. People would probably be chaining themselves to Space Mountain. Like,
I could see that happening, actually.
Like, this is... I'm not even joking. Like, this is, like, it's people's, like, thing. But, like, just thinking about, like, you brought up that somebody said it's going to be a DCA, but where is that going to be? And how big is this land? Like, Pandora in Magic, or in Animal Kingdom, excuse me, is not very big. Like, it's not huge at all, like, footprint-wise, because there's two attractions, and it's like a two-story building. They're one on top of it, each other. So it could, in theory, fit in a relatively small space.
So my prediction in the text may be right. Bye, Pooh.
Or
no, it's DCA. Is it going to
Hollywood Land?
Is it Hollywood Land or is it Grizzly? Is it over there?
Oh,
I mean, if
right.
it wasn't
Grizzly River's closed half the year.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense because. It isn't the whole idea of them being in nature and stuff like that? Like, could they convert all of that? I guess. But where would they put
Soarin',
the attraction, though?
Soarin' over Pandora.
Oh, jeez. Talk about riots. People riot now because it's World versus California.
Hi.
Soarin' over Pandora.
That would
that's
be
basically
funny.
What I mean, that's basically what the one ride is just Soarin' over Pandora.
That's true.
Like, it's so they wouldn't they
imagine if they did
I don't know
that
it's kind of weird I yeah sort of Pandora maybe that's the attraction it's just a layover
and
of sort.
And the water ride becomes Navi Water Run and so now you're
Navi Water Run and that's it they just changed the sign and the like the J. Audubon Wood Lore is now like I don't know the guy from Avatar I don't know his cat Jake Sully he's saying something and he goes, all right, look out for them Navi or whatever
something.
They talk about, I guess, or the Navi are your friends. Look out for those human guys.
Those big blue Smurfs.
Yeah. No, the Na'vi are your friends, put some like statues of the Na'vi. This is the problem with Grizzly River Run is there's nothing to look at. That's just like true. You go around. They don't even have like a statue. Like, I've never been on it, but I watched a video because I don't like getting wet, so that's why I don't go on this ride. But like, they don't even have like a statue of a bear, right? There's nothing, as far as I know. There's just like nothing to look at. I'm gonna say my plus up again for this, just so everybody knows it. Country Bear River Rapid, whatever. Like, just put the Country Bears along the route and they're playing
it's
a song.
It's fine.
There's the plus
it's
up.
That or the Brave attraction that Gavin came up with when we armchair Imagineered that area.
Yep.
I'd settle for either one of those. Because you're right. There really is nothing.
It's the same ride and just put the Country Bears and there's the five bear rugs. They're playing a song. And then there's Henry and he's singing. And then there's Trixie and she's swinging from a swing. Or Teddy Barra. And Trixie comes out and just go past them. Like, they like the Country Bears. And they're singing Disney songs now.
But Andrew, where will they put Judge Doom next year?
That's by Soarin'.
Oh, is that by
Soarin'?
Who was in that area?
Yeah. There was nobody. They do that on the pathway.
What?
That was Mother Gothel or something stupid.
Absolutely nothing.
Where I think it was Mother Gothel where she was is like, if you're looking at the big water wheel, you know, that path that's kind of by the San Francisco Street thing to like the right. Right
so
in front of that was still, it's just the
just
pathway.
We're
putting Country Bears on the ride. They don't have to do anything else. They just stick them there and make it like this. Like, bzz, bzz,
but
bzz,
where will bzz, the giant blue people go then?
Well, okay, or it's Pandora. Then they put Pandora River Run, and you have to. There's like a big walker thing, like
I'm doing sound effects,
you know,
an AT-AT.
Yeah, but the ones that they have in the movie.
I don't know. I've never
where
seen
the human
it before,
people are in
so.
It. They're like mix. They're like mix suits.
They
like,
live on Hoth
you know,
too,
grab...
right? Like that's the
yeah.
Oh no! Something. What's the what's the Ewok planet?
Endor. Yeah,
it's late, man.
Or the Wookiee planet, Kashyyyk.
Yeah, it has to be somewhere with vegetation, so I'm thinking it's Endor.
Or the water planet of Naboo.
Well, all of them.
Or the city planet of whatever that one is. The whole planet's a city. I mean, the whole city.
Alderaan.
Yeah, whatever.
No.
They Alderaan.
I'm not even going to attempt to remember right now because I can barely remember my name. So we should start wrapping up the episode.
Yes.
But hold on, what? What is the whole planet is the city? Keep talking. I'm going to look
Coruscant.
It up because now I'm mad I can't remember this. Thank you, Coruscant.
My
Thank
brain
you.
Is All working.
Right. Mine isn't. There was no way I was going to remember that right now. But all right. So either way, like for real though, if they did do something like this, I don't know. I know very little about the attraction that's at Magic or Animal Kingdom.
Animal Kingdom.
I know it's a lot
thing.
Of... you know, screens and stuff. I know that it does have that flying element to it, but theoretically, could they use the hangar buildings in Hollywoodland to house that attraction? Like, if they just duplicated it, could they do that?
Could they house
a queue for it?
That's probably the bigger issue is, like, the queue. So, the buildings are two-story. I'd have to go on Google Maps and just measure, but, like... The biggest issue with the Flight of Passage, which is the Soarin' like one, is it's like Soarin', like the screen is humongous. It's like an IMAX screen or whatever, like the dome screen. And then it's like three or four levels of vehicles that you get into, like that are, and it's like this whole big mechanism. It's insane. So it's mostly the height that I don't know is there for if they just left those buildings intact and tried to put it there. The Na'vi River Journey, again, like I think they would have to, like, if they were putting these in just like Roller Coaster Tycoon style and like plop them in, I think you would have to knock down like monsters and all the buildings over there to fit it. I think it would fit, but I think you would have to do a little raising of buildings.
I think you then, just going off of that, depending on what this experience is, the thing that throws it all off is that Bob Iger began to call it Avatar Land, right? And so if, depending on what ends up happening with Disneyland Forward, theoretically there is a world where Disney gets additional land in Anaheim and they could somehow create an extension gate where they could house
in the parking lot of the Pixar Pier Hotel.
It theoretically that could happen, right? So if that expansion happens in that manner and we do get a full land similar to the way that we did with Batu, then it makes sense. But if Disneyland Forward doesn't move forward, so to speak, you may have been onto something with replacing Soarin', because if the mechanics are there, it's not a far leap to convert Soarin' into Flight of Passage, or at like
it would
like
be
it.
Like I think it would be a different ride, but it would like you could probably play the same film, but the like. The way it's like done is like in this weird perspective thing. You could probably edit it in such a way that you could make it work with the Soarin' mechanism, I'm sure. It'd be like a little bit of a different experience, but I think you probably could.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well, again, more than likely, we're going to end up getting a lot of these announcements and more information at D23 this year. I'm sure that that's what.
Over at the Honda Center, or whatever you're hearing about it at.
I don't even want to think about what's going to happen with the multiple locations.
I'm just telling you right now, I'm not going to the Honda Center.
It's close, and yet so far from the convention center.
I'm not gonna die.
Oh, God, Becky's here. Becky already doesn't want to go.
Becky's not going to the Honda Center.
Concerned.
I will just stay out of the floor, and I'll read about it later.
I'm just concerned that they're going to do Legends at the Honda Center.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I've not seen Legends once ever, so
it's the only
I'm
thing
gonna keep
I care
my streak
about.
Up. I know.
I mean, it's not the only thing, but it's the one
Hazen
I care about
the
most
Honda
usually.
Center, and I'm not going to go to the
what
Honda Center. Melissa, are you going to the Honda Center?
Too? I don't know.
Nope.
Yeah, Melissa said she's not
y'all
going to the Honda
off.
Center.
Should I take an Uber? What should I do? I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Get to hoofing, Hazen. Right? Walk the 2.5 miles or whatever it is.
I can't walk from here to the sidewalk. You think I'm going to walk 2 miles to Honda Center? Please. All right.
Start now. You'd probably make it a
yeah,
time.
Maybe now's a good time. Yeah. Preemptively walking. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up the episode. We'd love to hear from you. You know, if you have any speculation about where an Avatar land, or let's keep it Avatar experience, maybe. Because, again, I think a lot of this is going to be dependent on what ends up happening with Disneyland Forward, what gets approved, and what land Disney is able to acquire as part of that investment that they plan on doing over the next 10 years. So, leave your comments. Join us over on Discord. If you're not part of the community yet, we'd love to have you there. Podcateers.com/links is where you'll find a lot of that information. You'll find our latest episode, a link to the Quizneyland playlist. You'll find a link to our Armchair Imagineering episodes, a playlist of those, including our Discord link, our YouTube link, Larry's YouTube link, Goofy Guys Adventures. If you like watching streams from the park, you should sign up for Larry's YouTube channel. He streams multiple times a week. And some other stuff is on there as well. But join us on Discord. Leave a comment on the post for this episode on Instagram. We'd love to hear your thoughts about where you think an Avatar experience or land could go at the Disneyland Resort. Anything else before we close out this episode?
Let's go to bed.
Let's go to bed. Let's just start
going to bed.
All right. That's it. That's what we are going to do. It's late. Thank you for hanging in there with our manic episodes during this episode. I don't even know what to say anymore except for that's it. Until next time, keep dreaming, keep moving forward, and always remember to pass on the magic. Have a fantastic week, everyone.
Bye.
See ya. Go to bed.
Part of the Podcateers Network.